I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see everybody here this morning as we move toward the afternoon. Happy New Year. I know it's the last week of January as we approach the new year. However, it is still the beginning of a new year. 2024 is now here. Are we excited about it? Okay, you don't sound too excited. Are we excited about it? Amen, amen. I need your amens more than you think, Brother Dennis, so please. That encouragement is great. Praise God. Amen. They say amen, Honor. Amen. Amen. There you go. There you go. Amen. We were just talking about that this morning, and we're going to get right into the service, right into the sermon. We were talking about that this morning, my wife and I, during our devotion time, about the amens. And I have a tendency to reach out to the congregation, the call and response, asking the congregation to say amen. And the reason why is because it's Sunday service. And you all know as well as I do that Sunday, during the service and during the sermon, our minds have a tendency to wander. Amen. Unless you're an individual who's very astute, who's very keen, who's very in on the word and desiring to receive the word and hear the word, our minds have a tendency to wander. Last time I was here, I believe it was around Thanksgiving, you all may recall how the aroma came up from downstairs. And here I am supposed to preach a sermon, but I'm smelling Sister Kim's stuffing and the turkey and the dressings and all the fixings and everything. And it made it hard. It made it hard as we tried to birth this out and push this out. So our minds have a tendency to wander. We think about this. We think about that. God forbid that we shouldn't be thinking about these things. And I pray that anyone in here are not thinking about those things. However, that's the reality. So I say amen so I can grab your attention, so I can keep you in tune to receiving and receiving and accepting the word of God. Amen. 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 There you go. Praise God. Praise God. We'll be looking at the book of Ephesians. And if you're saying to yourself, he preached from Ephesians the last time he was here, well, I do love the book of Ephesians. As a matter of fact, my wife would tell you, what's your favorite book of the Bible? She probably would say each 66 books of the Bible. I love the Bible, the Word of God in its entirety. And I strongly believe as a preacher of the gospel that, and Dennis, you can attest to this, that we can find a particular passage of scripture anywhere in the Bible. And it's all pointing to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at the fourth chapter. We'll be looking at the fourth chapter. And we'll start at the 17th verse. However, our point of emphasis would be from 23 and 24, but I just want to kind of go back to the 17th verse and read from 17 to 24. And the Word of God reads as follows. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of blindness of their heart, who, being past filling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, reading our text for the day, 23 and 24, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In true righteousness and holiness. Let us bow and have another word of prayer. All wise and eternal God, we thank you that we are gathered here this day. We thank you for the praise and the worship. We thank you for this morning's Sunday school. We thank you for the traveling mercies that you have bestowed upon us here at New Life and the many churches abroad in this area. We're thankful for that, Lord God. And Father, it's time for us to receive your word. And we pray that the meditations of our heart, Lord God, be acceptable in thy sight, that you give us understanding, that you come, Holy Spirit, and blow like the wind, confront, convict, convert, and comfort. In Jesus' name, every heart says amen and amen. Praise God. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. For a title, we have created in holiness. Amen. We have created in holiness. And I ask if you may look to somebody next to you and say, it's okay to be holy. It's okay to be holy. Yeah. It's okay to be holy. Dear woman of God, it's okay to be holy. Noah, it's okay. It's okay to be holy. It's okay to be holy. It's okay to walk in holiness. For we are a holy people and a holy nation. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you should make a plate of pure gold and engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord is one of the first passages that come to mind when I think about holiness. This phrase says a lot to me in the book of Exodus. We read that God had a particular way of doing things. For instance, this pure gold plate was supposed to be worn on the head, and written up on the plate was the writings, holiness to the Lord. God orchestrated a specific way. He orchestrated a specific way he wanted things done when he gave the pattern of the tabernacle. The lives of his people and giving of the law, he specified how everything was to be done from the outer court all the way to the utensils. From the outer court all the way to the utensils. Now, in this particular passage of Exodus, in our Exodus account, holiness is synonymous with sanctification. The priests were to sprinkle oil on them and sanctify it. Sanctification means set apart and set aside. In that period of sanctification, we have what's called consecration. And those of us may know during our fasting and praying times, I don't know if this particular church does fasting and praying at the beginning of the year, but a lot of traditional churches and a lot of churches have the tradition. I'm not going to say traditional churches. A lot of churches have the traditions of at the beginning of the year, we'll start off with fasting and praying, the Daniel fast, the no food and water fast for a few days, the only juice only fast for maybe 14 days, and some churches may fast on just vegetables. During that particular time, they do what's called consecrating. Amen. For me, consecrating is going in my prayer closet, confessing and laying everything out before the Lord, getting the anointing oil, anointing myself, and going under a consecration before the Lord. Lord, I want you to use me for this particular service. Use me for this particular event. We are a sanctified people, holy unto the Lord, set aside for the Master's use. Amen. He wanted everything done the way he desired for it to be done. Everything was perfect and holy unto the Lord. And when we look at the big picture, God never desired for us to be like everyone else. He never desired for us to be like everyone else. Now, I say the big picture coming from the fall, because initially in creation, we was to go and multiply, right? We was to go and advance God's kingdom. We was to go to make every place like that of Eden, okay? But from the fall, his desire for us was to never be like everyone else. God's plan has always been the main attraction. Am I right about it? God's plan has always been the main attraction. Be fruitful and multiply in Genesis. The tabernacle account in Exodus. the salt of the earth, and a city that sits on a hill in Matthew. And be holy as I am holy in 1 Peter. God's plan has always been for us to be the main attraction. We were never to be the second hand or less than. As a matter of fact, listen, God was so crazy about his people, and he had such a standard of holiness. He told the children, he said, listen, I didn't pick you because you were greater in number than anybody else. I didn't pick you because, and I'm going to paraphrase this, I didn't pick you because you were more intelligent than anyone else. I didn't pick you because you were the best looking of everyone else. I picked you because I desire to use you to set an example of my holiness in this particular people. Amen. Amen? I desire to use you to set an example of my holiness of this particular people. We've always been the main attraction, Brother Ken. Always been the main attraction. God's desire is for people to look at us. Amen. This is what it means for the city that sits on a hill. A city that sits on, see, we over here in the West, sometimes we can't really understand unless you're in some of those hilly areas where, I don't know if you've been in Cincinnati, you know, you get certain areas you can kind of see downtown. You can see the uprisings and things like that. And I've never really been to New York, but they say that when you get there, for those of us who are not from there, it stands out because we have a tendency just to look up. And that's how they know that we're from out of town. See, the New Yorkers, you know, it's a regular thing for them. They grew up in the city. It's a common thing for them. But for those of us who've never been to the big cities, we get there and we're just kind of like, wow. Like, oh, yeah, they're not from here. Look at it. Yeah. But God, again, his desire for us to be the main attraction. The city that sits on the hill, the light, the analogy that God gives us, the light that is set up on a lampstand, see. We're not to put it up under the table where it can be hid. Amen? Amen. Now, what does holiness look like? What does holiness look like? We're not to engrave upon ourselves any specific markings or tattoos, or it's not a specific denomination in the body of Christ. They subjugate themselves to rules and regulations. The first thing that came to my mind from a biblical perspective was this crown of pure gold placed upon the head of the priest. But when I look at it in our time growing up, holiness to me was some of those denominations that wore only white. You may recall some of the holiness denominations that wore long dresses and skirts and you know, they didn't wear makeup. They refrained from certain things. But what does holiness look like? What does holiness look like? For those of us who are born again, and I know you don't have, matter of fact, you have it on your phone, but we're not going to do that. But for those of us who are born again, I would encourage you to grab a mirror and look at the mirror. That's what holiness looks like. That's what holiness looks like. See, what makes us holy, right, is not the things that we do, but it's what he has done. Amen? It's what he has done. Now, I'm going to get into the sanctification process, right, how we partner with God, and there are some things that we have to do, right? But again, it's okay to be holy. It's okay to be holy. Now, in the book of Ephesians, we see in this fourth chapter, we started out, and I'm not trying to make this a series on the book of Ephesians. When I say we started, I'm referring to the book and the chapter in and of itself. Paul has started out encouraging the saints in the city of Ephesus, right? We may recall from the book of Acts, the riot that took place in Ephesus. In the city of Ephesus, they had one of the seven wonders of the world, the temple that was dedicated to the princess, to the goddess Diana, right? They would make shrines and idols dedicated to this particular goddess. And Paul, come preaching the gospel, made the city go in uproar. And he's writing to this particular church, these believers, encouraging them. And this same encouragement we receive today, He's written them and taught them how we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He writes and said, listen, we're the workmanship of Christ Jesus. He said, listen, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, not of anything we should boast. It is of the gift of God. Amen. And then he goes on to the fourth chapter, and he gives what's called, he lays out about walking in unity and giving about the spiritual gifts, right? It's what we call the fivefold ministries. And as we conclude and come out of the fivefold ministries, he talked about how he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And he given the reason why God has gifted the body of Christ with these gifts, or these individuals who possess these gifts. He said for the unity of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, right? So we all come to the knowledge of Christ. And going on in chapter 4, we're coming up out of the receiving of the gifts. And he encourages us about the new man. And that's why I went back to the 17th verse. Because he said, my Bible's kind of broken down in subtitles, right? Some of them, they kind of all one particular passage. But he says, this I say to you, therefore, and testify that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked. Right? So he encouraged us with the gifts that God has equipped the body of Christ with. And he's saying, this is the reason why God has given us these gifts. God has equipped the body of Christ so we can come in unity. Somebody say in tandem. See, in tandem. So we can be in tandem with one another, in tandem with the church down the street, in tandem with the different places of worship. That worship the true and living God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because there's some churches down the street that, and I don't know about here, I'm just using that as an example. Some churches down the street you may not want to worship at. So we're in tandem. And he's telling us not to walk as the Gentiles walk, right? But we are to be holy. We are to be holy. Now, in the church of God, I don't know if any of y'all know this, right? But if not, let me tell you a little secret. Holiness is a standard. Amen? Holiness is a standard, right? True holiness, according to the Bible, is loving what God loves, hating what God hates, and measuring everything by the standard of his word. Loving what God loves and hating what God hates, and measuring everything by the standard of his word. People have a tendency to filter things, right? We filter things, and God forbid if anybody, I know this is a perfect church, right? So we're the perfect body of Christ. So we don't do this here, right? But people have a tendency to filter things from a worldly standard, right? They filter things from a worldly standard. And because of the standard of the world or our society, that's how we filter and measure certain things. We look at the Bible from a worldly lens instead of looking at the world through a biblical lens. Did y'all get that? We have a tendency to look at the Bible from a worldly lens instead of looking at the world through a biblical lens. What does that mean? So what I mean by looking at the Bible from a worldly lens, because it doesn't make sense to the natural mind, we'll read certain things in the Bible and we'll try to make sense out of what doesn't make sense in the Bible. Did I confuse anybody? I hope not. Okay. It doesn't make sense that a young boy named David would just take a sling and a stone and slay a giant named Goliath and cut off his head and do all of it. It doesn't make sense to the natural man, right? Even Goliath said, what are y'all doing? King Saul said, listen, you're but a youth, but he's been a warrior since his youth. It didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Think about this. The instruction in Jericho was for you to go and march around the city, and then on the seventh day, march seven times, and then shout, and the walls will come. It didn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense naturally. You mean to tell me I'm going to go down to City Hall and march around Frankfurt, the capital city, and then all of a sudden the whole Capitol is going to come tumbling down. I'm not doing that. So in today's time, we'll try to rationalize it and like, ah, that's foolishness, right? But I'm reminded in the book of Corinthians, he said he'll take the foolish things of God he uses to confound the wise. And the wise things, the wisdom of this world, is foolishness unto him. So we'll view things in the Bible from a worldly lens instead of having it the other way around, viewing the world from a biblical lens. See, when we view the world from a biblical lens, that means there's only one standard, right? And that's the standard of holiness. That means that we are not to compromise in any way, form, or fashion, right? Because we view it from a biblical lens, right? So there should be no question, and I'm going to hit on this, but it's not that I'm shooting shots out toward anything that's going on in the world, but there should be no question with the LGBT or the gay marriages or anything like that because we view it from a biblical lens, right? There should be no question with abortions and anything like that because we view it from a biblical lens. Am I correct? There should be no questions of certain things because there's a standard that's already set, and that's the Word of God. Am I right about it? Is that okay, Brother Ken? Amen. Are we good, Brother Noah? Amen. Now, you can give me the little signal if I go a little bit too long, right? Amen. 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 True holiness is hating what God hates, loving what God loves, and measuring everything by the Word of God. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, Brother Ron loves you, okay? I'll be the first to tell you. I don't hate anybody, especially those of us who are created in the image of God. Now, I may not like, I had to tell a coworker this. Listen, man, I respect you. I love you. I may not like some of the things you do. You may have an unethical practice. I may not like it, but I will still respect you and love you because you created in the image of God just like I am. However, there's a distinction, church. There's a distinction of a child of God being a child by creation versus a child by relation. Amen? There's a distinction. Yeah, we all are children of God by creation. But there's only a few of us who are children of God by the relationship that we have through Christ Jesus. Amen? In the book of Hebrews, excuse me, Romans 6:22. Romans 6:22. But now, having been set free from sin, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. This particular passage, we normally often quote 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we often just kind of, I don't know if we miss it or don't pay attention to it, or if we just kind of read, so, or if our emphasis is just so much on the wages of sin, right? We miss that we have fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. The end, everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness can be perfected. Amen. Holiness can be perfected. Peter says, and I'm going to read this, but I often like to quote it, but sometimes I misquote it. And Brother Dennis, if you like me, you know you have that tendency when you know you're quoting it wrong and you're getting ready and you're kind of way off, so you just kind of slide that word that we use so often. I'm going to paraphrase it. That'll cover the mistake of misquoting it. Amen. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming ourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, be ye holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now listen. Not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. 1 Peter 1:14, 2 Corinthians 7, cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh. As the ecclesia, amen, the church of the living God, we partner with God, right, in the sanctification process. As the Holy Spirit comes and cleanses us and we're being transformed, Romans chapter 12, no longer conformed to the ways of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? Presenting ourselves holy and acceptable unto God. There's something that we have to do. Yes, holiness is who we are. Holy is who we are. There's a standard that we have. We view everything through the lens of the Bible. But there's something that we have to do, right? We have to get in the Word of God. Praise God. You won't be holy just by coming once a week on Sunday. Just by clapping or sending donations to the church. You won't be holy by memorizing the hymn book. I had a dear woman of God, bless her heart, she's a great mentor. And every time I see her at Central Church in Georgetown, I run and give her a hug. Praise God. And she talked about how she's memorized a lot of the hymns. And sometimes I envy that because I don't have the Church of God hymn book. So I got the old Baptist hymnal, right? And I've memorized a lot of them as well. But that won't make us holy, right? We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, right? We yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, allowing God to live his life through us, right? That I'm holy by not because of what I do, but because of what he has done. Amen. Because of what he has done. And again, this is the sanctification process, right? So God saves us. We're born again. A new creation in Christ Jesus. But now we've got to walk. And I love, and if we can't get a clearer picture of our walk with Christ, if we can't get a clearer picture, I love the analogy of the natural birth process. We're born into this world totally dependent. Totally dependent upon a parent. I watched my grandbaby eating the other day. We was having family time. And his mother, Honor, she had a piece of, what we was having Chinese, I don't know what we was having. She had a piece of something that's getting it to him. And he just kind of reached up his mouth. And, you know, at this particular age, he don't, everything, he's going for it. If it's coming from mama, I'm going for it. And it reminded me of the baby bird and the mother bird, right? If y'all have ever seen a bird feed their baby birds in the nest, all they know is to just open them out. Mother's here. Totally dependent. And then we begin to grow. And there's in the natural, there comes a point in time, right, where the child learns, gets potty trained, right? There comes a point in time where the child comes to mom or dad and says, I'm hungry, right? Those stages in life. Then the child becomes an adult. A full-grown man or woman, right? The child no longer goes to mom for food. The child now works and knows how to cook and provide, right? Then there comes a stage in the life where the child has children, and he now has to provide for his child. I love the natural stage in life, right? And how we can look at that. And if we can't look at that and learn in this Christian walk, how when God first saved us and when we get born again, it's almost like in the natural. We are babes in Christ. We don't know the Word of God. That's the benefit of Sunday school. That's the benefit of midweek services. That's the benefit of devotion and spending time in the Word of God. And then we begin to grow. And then there's a different level of faith. I don't know if it was to you all, church, Brother Ken and some of the others, but for me, right, It seems as if God revealed himself more when I was younger in the faith. I would pray a prayer and you look around like, wow, man, there is a God. Now, it's not that he's not there anymore. No. We're at a different level in our walk with Christ. I know he's there. Right? The songwriter says, I go to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and talks with me and tell me I am his own, right? I know he's there. His presence is dwelling within me. I read his word. The other songwriter said, I spoke with him this morning. We read his word every day on a daily basis. Amen? Now, with that, as the word, the prayer then becomes, Lord, not only reveal your scriptures to me, not only show me the way, Lord, as I take and ingest the word of God, as I meditate upon your word, chew upon the scriptures, as I digest the scriptures, Lord, allow me to be conformed to the image of Christ. Right, and having that standard. I strongly believe that holiness is when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit as new creatures in Christ and allowing him to take control. Holiness is submitting to the will of God, walking in the light of the word. Holiness is obeying the rules and regulations of the laws and government. Amen? Does it not talk about that in Romans chapter 13? Yielding to the laws of the government. Now, I have a confession. Y'all pray for me. I have a confession. In my spirit, I was running behind. This morning, on Highway 127. Don't judge me. Please pray for me now, y'all. In my spirit, I was running behind. And all of a sudden, because I felt I was running behind, the car in front of me was driving too slow at 60. I prayed for a double lane. Is there not another lane? I thought it opens up to where there's two lanes on this highway somewhere. And in my haste, I went on and passed the car up. Just like we all do. I'm not the only one. Am I the only one? Okay, I'm glad I got a church here today. Amen, I feel better. I went on and drove on around him. Got up to 80. Now, I didn't stay at 80 long, mother. Please, don't. I got up to 80. Once I seen it go to 80, I was like, took my foot off the gas. Got on back down to about my 60. No, actually, I seen my wife. I kind of looked over. She was praying, I don't know what she was saying, but if I could imagine, Father, in the name of Jesus, we got these kids in this truck. I pray no deer comes out. I pray he slows down in my haste, right? Now, what excuse could I have given if a state trooper, you know how they always just hide behind that little rock? Does God miraculously, is he still in the creating business? Does he just miraculously create a state trooper to pull out of the rock? What could I have said? I'm late from church. I'm supposed to be preaching this morning. And I'm glad that none of that took place. And I don't want to go too much on a detour. Basically, what I'm saying is that we are to obey the rules and the laws and the regulations of the land. And sometimes it's easy. And those of you who drive on a regular basis, I was in my dad's car, and I was at 90 before I even realized that the car was going that fast. And these cars today, am I trying to justify? Are y'all praying for me? Amen. We are to obey the laws and the regulations of the land. And pray for those, and pray, not only that, listen. Praying for the corruption that we see in our government. See? Praying for the corruption. Now, If we see corruption in our government, the laws of the land, as people of God walking in holiness, we pray for them. We don't badmouth them. Right? Because what? Because why? They are a soul in need of Christ just as we are. Am I right about it? They are in need of the gospel just as we are. So we don't badmouth them and say things and slander. No, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. It's easy to discourage, put down, tear down. But it's one of the hardest things to encourage a person and love a person, even in spite of the person. And that's what it means to be holy. Amen. That's what it means. We can walk in holiness in 2024. Oh, yeah, we can walk upright before the Lord in 2024, right? It's the light that God allows people to see is supernatural. So it has nothing to do with us anyway. So when we walk in a store, when we walk on our job, when we act something different, when we bow our head at Wendy's for prayer over our food, the light that's illuminated, God allows the individuals to see that. He allows them to see that. It's a great compliment. It's a great compliment and an honor for someone to say there's something different about you. Because there is. Amen. You're created in the image of God. We're created in the image of God. We're the holiness of the Lord. And he uses us to advance his kingdom and to win people to Christ Jesus. And when they see that there's something different about us, right? God opens up the door of the opportunity to tell them about a man who was slain for the sin of the world. To tell them about a man named Jesus who died for our sins, who rose from the grave, who was seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the gospel. Amen. That's the gospel. My encouragement as I leave you, church, is not only to be that standard, to have the Bible as the standard of holiness, and not only to walk upright in the Lord, but my encouragement is to be who God has called us to be in 2024. Amen? Amen. You ain't got to go get a haircut. Listen, you ain't got to wear a certain dress. You ain't got to put on a suit. You can do just like you are. Amen? You can do just like you are, just as you are. Just like we come to him as we are, we go to them just as we are. What a great testimony to share with somebody is, hey, man, I'm just like you. Only thing different is I'm bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Amen. I live a holy life because I'm born again and want to please our Heavenly Father. As we continue to grow in godliness, no one should have to tell us to do certain things. No one should have to tell us not to listen to the dirty jokes on the job or to stop when our stomachs are full. No one should have to tell us to turn the TV off when the Spirit of the Lord is tugging at your heart for intimacy. No one should have to tell us to set the plate aside when God is leading you into a fast and prayer. Now, when I say fast to prayer, don't think that I'm getting super spiritual on you like we got to go in sackcloth and ashes and hide ourselves in a room and you know, go in agony for 3 or 4 days. No, church, no. You recall when he was, the feeding of the 5,000, when he was teaching on the side of the mountain? You recall what Jesus said when he performed the miracles of the fish and the loaves? He said, listen, I'm not going to send them away fasting. Mm-hmm. Basically, they have been with me all day and haven't had anything to eat. They've been on a fast. There's times where the Spirit of God, right, will lead us into his presence. We'll be in devotion and we'll look up starting from 6 in the morning and 10 o'clock has gotten here. You haven't even eaten yet. You've been fasting before the Lord. And there's times where the Spirit of the Lord will just say, you know what, I'm going to keep going. Just go a little bit longer to 3 o'clock or 12 o'clock. And you're just so full of his presence. Amen? Amen. 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 In closing, I read this. Holiness is being structured. Being structured, punctual, keeping your word, walking in integrity. I get up every day to pray and seek the face of God, to study the word of God, not because I want to be holy, but because I am holy. Not because I want to be holy, but because I am holy. Our closing scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, for without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, for without which no one will see the Lord. Let us go ahead and stand and close in a word of prayer. And Brother Ken, or if you want to have a closing song, and Brother Dennis, we'll have an altar call if you don't mind giving one. If anyone needs prayer for anything after the closing prayer of this service, the altar is open. Praise God. All wise and eternal God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that we can walk in holiness, we can live in holiness, we can be a people who are set apart for your use. We thank you for sanctification. We thank you for consecration, Lord God. We thank you that we are redeemed, and we receive encouragement that we no longer live as the Gentiles, doing the things that were done in our ignorance. But now, Father God, we live a life that's pleasing unto you. A peculiar people, a holy nation, a chosen generation, bought by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you. As we go out, Father God, we continue to lift up our loved ones in prayer. We pray, Father God, for those who are in the nursing home and on the sick bed. We lift up our Pastor Rick and Kim as they're out of town and they're traveling mercies, Lord. And we're just so grateful for what you're doing in this place. Again, Father, we ask that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, be acceptable in thine sight to the only wise God who was able to keep us from falling, Jesus Christ the righteous. Every heart says amen and amen.